All right, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. I want to welcome, our wonderful visitors today. I took notes, and I just wanted to make sure I got the names right. And we have Mikey and Lil, and then we have Max. I don't know which one's Max. All right, and then Zelda, that's the best name ever. And then who is the big boy?
Raffi.
Oh, okay. I have a cousin named Raffi, so that's easy to remember. Okay. Okay, Raffi. All right, wonderful. So welcome to you all. And you're an answer to prayer. I pray all the time that the Lord will send laborers, workers, missionaries, pastors, evangelists, teachers, worship leaders, Bible study leaders. Just send them, Lord, and send them here. Not just Japan, but here in Hiroshima. So I hope he doesn't send you back. Yeah. And then, let's see, I want to make sure I have these names right. Is Larissa here? Larissa, I feel like I'm taking attendance today. Larissa and is Enoch? Enoch? No, okay. Caden? No, okay. So Doreen? All right. Doreen and Wycliffe and Hambokoma and Chomo and Marvelous. Yeah. Just want to welcome you. Just talking to the missionaries, you are needed in Japan just as much as any place. I know that you're out in Saijo, and it's the countryside, and there's nobody there except for students, but the Lord sent his son to a small town, to Nazareth, and from there, his ministry spread to the world. And so, Saijo needs you, Hiroshima needs you, Japan needs you. And whether you go back to your various countries, in the meantime, while you're here, please do the Lord's work as much as you possibly can. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Okay, now let's move on. So much to talk about, and we need to finish by 3:00, and then maybe if we're still around by 3:30, we'll move downstairs. But there's going to be a special service next Sunday, and they're going to have the rehearsal for that special service here from 3:30. So we have to keep things moving along. All right, so let's go ahead and start with the Word of God. And we're in Matthew chapter 5. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll go ahead and start from verse 33. And please join me from verse 36. So I'll begin. Matthew chapter 5. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Let's read together. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. So I'm in my 40s. I'm 46. I know I look like I'm in my 50s, but it's okay. This is our time. This is our generation. And I think like the biggest challenge of our generation, of this time, is finding ways not to lose our humanity, just as humanity's creations are becoming more human-like. I'm a teacher, and one of the biggest challenges for the teachers is this new thing called ChatGPT. I love it. I once told you I checked online how to write a sermon through ChatGPT, and you didn't know if I was preaching from that AI sermon or was it my sermon? And you'll still never know. But yeah, our creations are becoming more human-like. And at the same time, we are struggling to keep our humanity. We're fighting not to become like machines. But at the same time, the machines are becoming like us. And I really feel like that is our challenge, more than ever. And so today's teaching from our Lord shows us the way to keep our humanity in a world that is constantly pulling us away from that humanity. And it all hinges on our relationship with the truth. That's the big word. Truth with a capital T. Here's the big word these days. The big word is my truth, right? I haven't heard that. I first heard that maybe 5 or 6 years ago, where people were talking about my truth versus the truth. How do you feel about that? I think what people are trying to say when they say my truth is they're talking about my experience, right? So you have the culture and the zeitgeist and what principles and truths are necessary for a culture and a society, but I have my experience, whether it's racism, whether it's abuse, whether it's injustice. And so many people feel ignored or cast aside, and their experience is not valid according to the powerful, the government, the law, whatever, right? And so they're trying to express, no, this is how I've experienced it. You say it's this way, but this is the reality I live in. This is the abuse. This is the lies. This is the injustice that's been done to me. This is my truth, right? You can't deny my experience because that's real. And you know what? I would agree with that. Yeah, you have your experience and it's valid. You have your truth, if that's what you mean. But be careful when you make your experience become your opinion. There must be a line, there must be a distinction from what you've experienced as reality to what you feel as your opinion. Because what's the opposite of my truth, or what's the antonym of my truth? Let me tell you, it's universal truth. There's my subjective experienced reality called individual truth, subjective truth, and then there's universal, absolute, undeniable, unchanging, complete truth. Universal truth. Now here's the most important part. If you're trying to keep my truth and throw away universal truth, you'll have nothing. You'll lose both. That's what Jesus is saying here. But if you will conform your truth with the universal truth, if you will take your truth, your experience, your reality, and align it to universal, absolute, complete reality, you will get both. That's what Jesus is saying. You see, the modern age in this time is all of us are trying to make reality conform to us.
This is how I like it, my way. This is how I want the world to be. The world needs to acknowledge who I am and what I experience. And that is very new in human history. That's very new. That's this century. But up until this century, it's always been the wise people, the ones who understand truth, is, no, the point of life is to shift my experience or conform my experience to reality, to how the world actually is. And that's what Jesus is ultimately saying in this short section. Your relationship to the truth will determine whether you keep your humanity or lose it. And so that's why he's talking about this topic in the most famous, most important, most preached on sermon in all of history, the Sermon on the Mount. We're covering that this year. And we've covered the Beatitudes. We've covered his message on relationships and forgiveness. We've covered his section on eros and physical intimacy. And now he's giving us the law of relationship number 3, which is the law of truth and how we relate and how we not understand truth, but how we conform ourselves to the truth. Okay, so there's 2 things we want to see in his sermon. It's layers and order. Layers is levels and nuances and top to bottom, hierarchy. And then there's order, which is relationships that are correct. So first we look at the layers. Notice where he talks about, you've heard it said, you have to keep your promises that you make to God. But when it comes to other promises that you make based not on God, but, I don't know, on heaven, on earth, on Jerusalem, on my mom, on my kids, on my family, Back in the day, in Jesus' time, the teachers, the scholars, they would say, oh, God is absolute. God is so great. If you invoke God in your promises, I swear to God, you better keep that promise. Otherwise, he will send you to hell. However, if you make an oath based on your own word, or you say on heaven or on earth, there's layers to it. There's layers to the power of your oath. And so that's what these teachers, these Pharisees, these scribes were teaching. And Jesus says, no, that's not how it works. There are no levels to this. Why? Because God is in every single level. The heavens are God's heavens. The earth is God's earth. Jerusalem is God's city. So at every single level, you are required, you are responsible, you are accountable to what you promise, what you say, how you behave. At every single level. That's how truth works. So let me give you an example. This will be difficult for you to imagine, so please bear with me. Okay, I know this is going to be out there and wild and crazy, but try to follow along with me. Let's just imagine that you have something in your pocket or in your hand that somehow, if we could switch it on, maybe like a camera or a microphone, and we switch it on tomorrow morning when you wake up, and that camera or microphone in your pocket or in your hand, without you knowing, is watching and recording everything you do, everything you say, every text you send, everything you search for, every video you play, everything you say at break time, at snack time, on FaceTime, for an entire day. Let's just, I know it's hard to imagine that situation, but let's just try. That someone and something is recording and watching and listening to every single thing that you do for the next 24 hours. So let's imagine that happens tomorrow. Is that Monday different from all your other Mondays, or is it the same? Because let's imagine that when we record all of those things that you did and all those things that you said, let's say we're going to post it on all the YouTubes, all the Instagrams, and all the whatevers. Will it be different, the way you live your life on Monday, as opposed to any other Monday? How will it be different? How is your relationship at every single level of life? Because what Jesus is saying is, God is at every single level. There is no, I can get away with this if it's on this level. If it's just a small text. It's just a 1 minute TikTok. It's just a little, you know, just between me and her, because we know each other. Oh, is God in that? Is God there? Because Jesus is saying, you can't escape God. It's all His. It's His Instagram. It's His Facebook. It's His YouTube. It's His algorithm. It's His truth. So, that's the layers. I want to get a little bit dirty. Now, it's going to get a little bit rough. Okay? And I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about cockroaches and motivations. Now, on the one hand, I'm going to be doing a little bit of fighting. And you're going to try to maybe fight back a little bit. You're not going to be comfortable. And so in one way, I'm kind of like, so here's what it is. Lies, they're like cockroaches. Sorry. Oh, okay. It's the wrong slides, sorry. We'll go here. I want to talk about the lies that we tell. So deception, half-truths, cover-ups. So let me tell you about some kinds of lies that we tell. And to me, lies are like cockroaches. Cockroaches have been around for as long as human history, right? And cockroaches survive in the dark, like lies, right? So let me tell you, just there's tons, and like cockroaches, there's billions of lies, right? Varieties and species and kinds, okay? Yeah, so let me just give you three, okay? The first kind of lie, let's go with a cover-up. You make a mistake, or you don't make a mistake, you purposely do something against contract, out of policy with the company, out against the grain of your boss or your group. And so you want to cover up that thing, right? What do they say? The cover up is worse than the crime, right? Yeah, okay, let's talk about one more. Let's talk about another one. I don't have the slide here, so I'm trying to pull it out of my head right now. Do I have it in my head? Okay. All right, so there's another one. Embellishments. You're telling a story. We went here, we did that, and you want to have some color. You want to have some flavor. You want to have some spice, right? So you're gonna make it a little bit bigger, or you're going to make it a little bit more expensive, or it's going to be a little bit nicer than it really is, right? Yeah, there's cover-ups, there's embellishments, there's plagiarism, there's taking credit, okay? Yeah, you're writing a report, you're doing your paper, you're telling a story, and you want to make sure that you get the credit, or you want to make sure that this thing comes back so that you can move forward at the expense of whoever you're using. That's called a plagiarism. All right, let's go with one other cockroach. I told you three, I got one more. Because they just always multiply, right? That's how cockroaches go. You think you got one, there goes the other. Gossip. I mean, you know, let's pray. I really want you to pray with me. And here's the prayer request. This one. Oh, did you hear? Do you know? Did you catch? Let's have some tea. And oh, excuse me if I spill a little tea, right? And they, you know, they'll never know. But you know, and if they were, I would tell it to their face. But they're not, so yeah. Gossip, plagiarism, cover-ups, embellishments. Now, before I start pointing at you, I'm not making eye contact, okay? I'm just keeping it general. Let me point at me. I'm looking at that list, gossip, cover-ups, embellishments, and plagiarism. There's one I absolutely hate. And if I find somebody doing it, I leave the room immediately. If I see somebody who does that, I avoid that person like the plague. Because I hate that kind of stuff. And then there's two of them, if I'm looking at it, I go, I'm not so hard on, because, you know, sometimes, depends on the situation. It's called situational ethics, right? So it's 50-50, it's a gray zone, right? And then there's one I don't ever want to talk about. Because when that recorder is on me, when that camera is on me, the last thing I want is that to be posted on all of your algorithms, on all of your timelines. I'm 1,000% guilty. Okay, now can I point at you? Plagiarisms, cover-ups, embellishments, gossip. Jesus says God is at every single level. There is no levels of truth. Truthiness, half lie, right? Nuance. Let's turn the lights on and look at those cockroaches. Because if you don't, they're just going to stay there. But let's go a little bit more painful. We're not going to turn the lights on. We're going to do a little bit of surgery. Because there's the sin behind the sin. So let's talk about the motivations for those sins, okay? I'll give you three. The reason why we have cover-ups, embellishments, gossip, and plagiarism, one is convenience. Because telling the truth and being honest and keeping your word, sometimes that's inconvenient. I have to do some extra paperwork. I have to actually tell somebody and go through the humiliation and bow my head and let's just slide around it. It's convenient, right? Another motivation. You're a coward. You don't want to say it to their face, so I'll just say it to somebody else. Or you don't want to do it yourself, so let me slide in some texts here and let them do it for me. You coward. That's the motivation. That's the sin behind the sin. Convenience, cowardice. Let me give you one more. Control. You think you're the one who can make things happen. You think you're going to be the one to pull the strings and make A go to B and B. And you think this is chess when everybody's playing checkers. You're the one making, no, you're not. You're not swimming with sharks. You're fooling yourself. You're playing yourself. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. What is he saying? He's saying every single little word you say is a seed. And you will reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. Your sins always find you out. Anybody over 30, 40 years old, you should be saying, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Right? And if you think you're getting away with something, you think you're sliding by, I have one piece of advice. Just keep on living. Just go ahead. Keep on living that stuff. Because your sins will always find you out. God will not be mocked. You plant the seed of a yes or a no that's a half-truth or a lie or a piece of gossip or an embellishment or a cover-up, you will reap a harvest of loneliness, rejection, pain, heartache, darkness. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch, right? Every single yes, every single, it's a seed, because that's how reality works, layers. Now we got to move on. Let's go to order. So you see there, it's not just the layers he's talking about. You see the order, okay? Order means, for example, the order of a business. You have the shacho, and then you have the buchos, and then you have the conchos, right? Or you have, in your family, you have mom and dad, and then there's the kids, and then there's the pets. That's the order of importance, okay? Right? Or in a classroom, you have the teacher, and you have the kucho and the kucho. Order. It's the correct relationships between the hierarchy. Okay? That's order. God ordered this world. He made the mountains, the rivers, the trees, and the water. And at the crowning place, at the crowning event of all of this creation, he put right at the top his image, human beings, people who will bear the image of God. And so you have the order of God, humanity, creation. And what you have is God putting design and functionality. And he makes everything have their purpose. The mom has her purpose. The dad has his function. The kids have their role. Humanity has its authority and its position in all of creation. And God put that order in there. Now look what he says. Look what Jesus says. Verse 36. You do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair black or white. Now, they had hair coloring back in those days. They did, all right? He's not talking about that. He's talking about order. You're part of God's creation. You're not the creator. So what you do when you tell a half-truth, when you give a lie, when you try to shape reality for someone else, did you see that? You are shaping reality for someone else. That's not your job. That's God's job. God is the author of creation. God makes reality. But by your words, you're trying to give a reality that's false. You are trying to be your own God. You are making your truth more important than universal truth. Do you see that? Jesus is talking about order. You have no power to change the color of your head because that's not your role. That's God's job. And so all these little things that we do, cockroaches, we're out of order when we tell a lie. There's order of creation, which I just talked about. There's order of design, the way things are supposed to work. So, in the section just before this, he talked about adultery and physical intimacy that's out of order. What's the reason that you should not commit adultery and you shouldn't lie? The reason you shouldn't commit adultery and you shouldn't lie is the same reason you can't breathe underwater. It doesn't work that way. Your lungs are not designed for water. They're designed for air, right? God made design in his society, in his community, in his world, in his family. Oh, you can tell lies. You can try to augment reality, but you will die. The result is death. It may not come soon. It may not be now, but it's promised. All right, I think we got through it. Okay? That was the hard part. These are the truths we need to understand. To be God's people, God is giving us in his Sermon on the Mount, this is how my people think, behave. This is how my people believe and act. My people need to be honest, people of the truth. Brutal honesty. So you have to look and say, who is the most dishonest person in my life? It's the one in the mirror. Until you can say that, you're fooling yourself. We have to get to the truth. Now, let's give some grace. How do you become a person of truth and integrity? When you're letting your yes, and your no be no. Is it by listening to a sermon and, I feel bad, I feel dirty, I feel guilty. Pastor Chris, it's hard this week. Yes, it's hard this week. It's surgery. Now, if I'm just slashing away, that's not going to heal you. You need some medicine. That medicine is grace. So let's cut deep. Let's go together. But the way that you heal is not just feeling bad. The way that you heal, the way that your life is redeemed and transformed and changed is by looking at someone who lived a life of integrity, who loved the truth, who embodied the truth, and he did it for you. Yeah. You need to look at something beautiful, something good. There's nothing more beautiful than Jesus Christ giving himself for the truth. And so you look what is his most honest point in his life? You have to go to Thursday night in the garden. Thursday night, he had dinner with his disciples. He goes to the garden. They're sleeping. They're in the dark. And there's no one else looking. He's in darkness. When no one else is around, he's the same person when everybody else is around. He's 100% honest. And he's honest with God, his Father. He says, Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to do this. And if there's any way possible, let this cup of wrath and judgment pass from me. Let this cup of separation from you, of taking on hell, let it pass from me. He's being honest. But at the same time, he's submitting to the truth. Yet not my way, not my will, yours be done. Why did he do it? He did it for you. So this is how it works, my friends. This is the gospel. The more you see him being honest in the dark, dying for you, the more you will live for him in the dark, giving yourself to him. Unless you do that, you're not going to be healed. You have to see him who loved you so much that even in the dark, he would give himself for you. And that way, when you are in the darkness, when you are being cast out, when you are going through suffering because you're living honestly, you can live through him. Now, there's people who would say, I can't live this way. This is hard for a Christian. And to become a Christian, this is impossible. This is the hard religion. And you know what Jesus would say? He was talking to a group, very religious, and he would say this story. He told them this story. He says, there's a man, he had a business, he had two sons. He told one son, come and work for me. Let's go, we got to go to work. And the one son said, no, I don't want to go to work, and he didn't go. And then the I don't know, excuse me, I messed up the parable, forgive me. Sorry, restart. So the man has a business, two sons. He goes to the first son, he says, come work with me. The first son says, yeah, I'll be right there, Dad, I'm coming. He never shows up. Son number one. Second son, what does he do? Son, let's go to work. No, I don't want to go to work. And then a few minutes later, he goes to work, right? And what does Jesus say? Who was the righteous one in the story? And the Pharisees say, the second one was righteous. Because he ended up saying one thing, but he obeyed. He believed. He gave himself. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, that's why the prostitutes, the pimps, the mafia, the sex workers, they're getting into the kingdom of heaven faster than you. Because they were willing to admit their dishonesty. You want to cover up your dishonesty. They know they're dishonest. They know they're liars. They know they're crooks and creeps. And they were willing to give it up. They're willing to admit it. And that's all that I need. Jesus says all he needs to save you from your lies is for you to admit, I'm a liar. That's all he needs. What's keeping us from being saved, transformed, changed into the glorious likeness of his son is we keep trying to cover up our dishonesty. We keep turning off the lights so the cockroaches can live. We keep avoiding the mirror so that we can keep our own image of ourselves. And Jesus says, I can't save you if you don't do that, if you keep doing that. All I need for you to do is be honest about your dishonesty. That's all I need. Once you say, Jesus, I give myself to you, my righteousness and my unrighteousness, my hypocrisy and everything else, I confess to you, Lord. I gossip, I plagiarize, I embellish, I cover up. I'm a coward. I'm all of that. Some more than others, some less than others, but Jesus, I need you. I need your resurrection power to transform and change me. I need the lights turned on in here so the cockroaches can get squashed. And Jesus says, once you're there, I'm happy to take that and give you my life, give you my power, give you my honesty. There's nothing more powerful than a man with no secrets. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman with nothing, no shame to hide, nothing to run from. And so that's what we are. If you are a follower of Christ, if you call yourself a disciple, now you're not posting on Facebook tomorrow, I'm this or I'm that or I did. You don't need to do that. You can do that with the one you love, with someone you trust, with someone who has your back. And then you repent. Whatever that repentance looks like, I'm sorry, I said this, I'm sorry, I did this. My yes was not my yes. My no was not my no. You can do it because Christ gives you the power. Amen. Yeah. And you can walk in freedom because Christ gives you forgiveness through the blood that he shed. So that's the grace. That's the healing. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help our yes to be yes and our no be no. Change our cowardice into courage. Change our people pleasing into pleasing God. Change our hunger for control into total submission to you. Not my truth, but your truth, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.